is you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as.
Soccer and the.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Easy, fellas.
Hi, boys.
How you doing?
Easy, mate.
Welcome to the Full Reptile Radio. We're upstairs today because we are waiting for the new, and it almost said Xbox, PlayStation 2 update. Said it's got 5 minutes left, but it said that 10 minutes ago.
Yes, it has gone full snatch Turkish.
So, here we are, four of us.
Brought the Raptors in.
Well, Vegas stories.
This is it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I need to tell you some fucking stories about these boys from Vegas.
This is a grilling down, is it? Is this a performance review?
I've been waiting to tell you this story since it happened. It was hilarious.
Jump straight in.
Are we going straight
into
it?
Yeah, fuck it. Go on.
How have you been, first of all?
Good, man.
Because you stayed home, didn't
Busy.
You, this time around?
Yeah, it was...
You had grown-up responsibilities.
I did.
Like families and jobs and stuff.
Yeah, and it was a weird one because my wife got, not rushed to hospital, but was advised, go hospital.
Hurried.
Yeah, literally horrid. And that was the day you were all flying. So I sat there with like Joey and friends at the window, crying to myself. Memories. And I was looking at my phone and all the stories of people on planes and landing, touching down and getting over there. And I was like, oh, this is the right thing. I did the right thing. Everything's good. And then Stace gets this phone call from the doctors. And it's all sorted now. Everything's good. But we spent something like 500 hours in A&E. And just, it was bonkers. So I've been busy with work from Black Friday, but also... Surprisingly, we were celebrity spotting in Derby A&E.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
At like 3 a.m.
Because you get a lot of celebrities in Derby A&E, do you?
Oh, mate.
At what, 3 a.m?
Yeah. I think I was slightly
Who'd
delirious.
You see, then?
John Goodman.
John Goodman?
Yeah. Exactly. Gandalf.
Ian McKellen?
Ian McKellen.
You saw
it. It was all a smaller version, like a Derby version.
Hang on, this is starting to remind me of a Catherine Tate sketch.
Honestly, dude.
You know the burger van sketch?
Yeah.
Have you seen Catherine
Tate?
Oh,
yeah, where she's... Yeah,
Morning,
yeah,
Neville!
Yeah.
She's always got some outlandish story of someone that dude. She met on the... Anyway.
Yeah, this was complete from, like, delirium, because we hadn't had any sleep.
Who's John Goodman? Who is that?
John Goodman's weird,
John
bro.
Goodman, yeah. What song called Books?
John Goodman's, that's...
Roseanne, John Candy. Not John Candy, Roseanne's fella. Who's John Roseanne's fella? Who was
I
in
need to Google.
Who was in the Flintstones.
Oh.
No,
John, I know
you didn't see him in fucking Derby A&E.
I haven't seen any of these. I was going to tell you I was seeing Jimmy Nail. We were singing Crocodile Shoes for 4 hours.
He was in Thingy, Big Lebowski.
That's it, yeah.
I
so,
was thinking, surely that can't be the same person.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so
he
was there,
was he?
And then this guy came out. And now bear in mind, whenever you're in A&E, doesn't matter if you've got a severed head or you've got a splinter, no one else should be there in your opinion, because it's like you're just wasting the fucking NHS time. Someone comes in with like a pimple or with a fucking rash on the tongue, they're not dying. I am. I want to go first. Because it was 4 hours, we were fuming by this point. And this guy walked out, like, cucumbers are cool, but fucking Cuthbert was the coolest. Do you know what I mean? He came out dressed as Antonio Banderas from like 1993. He had full tilt pointy shit kicker shoes, crocodile skin, and then he had faux crocodile skin trousers.
Oh, dickhead.
And he was trying to billy walk. He was trying to do his Conor McGregor walk through the hospital. When
Elbows first.
Yeah. But he'd clearly had something up his arse.
Ooh.
So now he was
Is
walking.
Is that why he was at A&E?
Yeah, he was walking like a bandy leg fool.
On a bottle of ketchup or something.
Exactly, yeah. If he'd have stood in an alley, he wouldn't have stopped a pig running through his legs. Basically.
Hang on. Say that one more time.
He wouldn't stop a pig in an alley.
Okay.
For other people, an alley, it could be called a jitty or a genel or a genel, where basically...
What? A genel?
A genel, that's another word for between two houses.
Is it?
Yeah, you know, what do you call it, a jitty?
Just
alleyway. No.
An
alleyway.
Alleyway,
yeah. So jitty, alleyway.
Twitchell.
Yeah, genel, genel, I don't know.
I feel like that might be a word that's made up, Twitchell. I'm going to Google that as well.
Well, yeah,
Thank goodness for Google, hey.
His trousers forced
us to
sing
Crocodile
Shoes.
Like this should be part of your remit. It's part of your job is Googling shit. I'm doing
well,
this stuff.
Well, they are called Jamie.
Like, exactly. I mean, like, we discussed...
Bring it up, Jamie.
We discussed for ages that we needed a Twitchell.
Twitchell.
Before we hatched you, we said we needed Jamies.
How would you spell Twitchell?
I don't
know. Double L.
H-E-L-L.
Okay, there we go. Now it's asking for my location. You don't need to know my location. So what's been happening? So what you've missed? You've missed Vegas. You missed Vegas.
I did miss Vegas.
But that's all right because, oh no, it's only in the Urban Dictionary.
If it's anything to do with poo going in a freezer inside a condom, don't keep reading. Don't Google space docking.
I don't even.
It's grim.
You've already derailed the podcast. So bad. Poo stories. We're stopping there you go. Right there.
It was a frozen.
It's Christmas.
Poo.
We need no. Unless it's reindeer shit, I'm not interested.
It can be. It can be, but that's very artisan.
The worst was that. Lemonparty.org.
Oh, quick lemon story. Lemon party story. We went to a gaming convention with my brother-in-law, and there was these massive screens. It was when like massive plasma screens came out, and we were there to play the new Call of Duty. And basically, we were walking around, and my brother-in-law is a bit of a tech geek. Realised that there was a certain computer that was linked to the projectors and the screens, and all he did was go up and search lemonparty.org, which is essentially a gangbang with five old white dudes kissing each other's tail. It's grim. But Rich typed it in, it came up on the screen and just walked off, and I was like, dude, there's kids here, man. He was like, oh, fuck them, they're all right. It's gross. So don't Google that.
Yeah, we used to do that at school when the teacher would go out and she'd leave a computer on the wall. We'd just put Lem Party on it.
Wait for hit enter. Come in. Yeah. No, that's bad, man. Yeah.
How have we got here already?
I don't know.
We took a nosedive.
It's this end of the set.
It is.
Apologies.
It is. It is actually... The sofa is actually two seats.
We need to drag ourselves away.
Slide over here. We can just drift away. You're a little bit. I'm expecting a few crass comments. Anyway... I've got to tell you this Vegas story.
Tell me. I can't wait.
As you know, marijuana is legal in Las Vegas. God bless. And we'd gone to one of the dispensaries and these raptors had picked up some syringe with some oil in. Upon returning to the house one night, I walked in the front door and I have the photo so we can post it up on...
Yeah, 100%.
Thing. As we walked in the front door, the first thing I see is Mystery sat on the sofa... in this big room with a massive teddy bear on top of him just stretched out on a sofa like that. A massive teddy bear on top of him.
Where the
like,
fuck
as
did you get a teddy
him.
From?
Well, it was in the house.
Oh, so, is that I'm about no, to say you know if you've gone on a mad spending spree.
So, sorry, I should have seen the reptile house. So yes. If you've not seen it, there's a load of stuff on the YouTube channel of well, there's the vlog and there's the PI stuff and a bunch of stuff.
Batcave one coming out soon.
That's good. So we're in the reptile house, the Airbnb that we got in Vegas, which was pretty awesome with the swan in the pool.
Man.
I walked in. So Mystery was under this sofa and I'm like, under this, this bear on the sofa. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking... what's going on here? Where is everybody else? The house was way too quiet.
It's so soft.
At no point in the whole week had the house been that quiet. So I walk in and I'm like looking around. Then all of a sudden there's a bit of a rumbling and Wad comes out of the bathroom like white as a ghost, like candle wax. Like he was Madame Two Swords. Fucking walked out and he was like struggling to move and his eyes were like all puffy and stuff, and then he just leant against the door frame and started giggling. And he couldn't hold it together. Gone. And then this one comes out like the fucking living dead. And it was like he wasn't even like acknowledging anybody was there. He was just kind of walked out and he was still staring at the floor. And I got a video of the three of them. Mystery still sitting under this teddy bear, and then these two just standing in the corridor, waddling up against the wall, giggling, and Jamie just living dead, staring at the floor. It was dangerous shit. What was it? Some kind of oil? You got to talk into that motherfucker.
I am.
I
pointed it away from my laugh, just to say that.
People like your laugh. It's endearing.
Is it endearing?
We'll do a Twitter poll.
Yeah.
Don't.
Well, the thing with that is before we had even decided to take the edibles, me, Jamie, and yourself had decided that when you get back, we're going to do a war room.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I this was in my head the whole time. And then I'm sat next to Wad, who's Dan's manager, and many of other things.
All good.
All good. All good, for sure.
The grown-up. Designated full adult. Full-tilt adult.
For real. And the grown-up is sat next to me, and he's just
you
like,
got
oh,
headphones
do you want to... Yeah, I can hear.
Does it sound all right?
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. So Wad decided to have an edible, and him being the sensible one of the group, he knew we were supposed to be working as well. I was like, I'll have one if you're having one. And then I stopped him, and I decided to get out the syringe. Uh-huh. And the syringe is treated, well, they use it out there for patients with cancer,
right,
and to numb their pain. That's what the guy said to me, so I was like, I'll take that.
Two, please.
And then before we knew it, like, I mean, I must have put on like a nice big thumbnail.
I'd say like
well.
We had a third of what the contents was each.
So maybe 100 mg, a little bit more.
Probably more.
What did you put it on?
On a cookie.
Yeah.
And a little cookie.
On one of those amazing vegan cookies from Whole Foods.
And then it must have been like
the first time it's been used as a vessel for drugs.
No. We were watching loads of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and then the next thing we were just so lit, and I was just like, damn, we've got to record this we've got to record a war room. And so everybody was kind of like trailing off into their room, and I was like, man, if Dan comes home and we're all asleep, and probably be in trouble. Yeah, well, this is what was going through my head at the time. I was like, started to get really paranoid. So I thought, well, I know what I'll do is I'll die near the set. So it seems
that's
like
true.
Prepared.
The set was set up.
Yeah,
as well.
It was.
The camera,
I put my toe on record.
This was before we had it.
It can wake me up.
That was it, because I got back and I walked over to him. And obviously, I'm filming. I'm videoing.
Of course.
This. I'll show you the video. And I'm walking over and I'm filming. And he's just sitting on the chair and he's like, we can do the warm if you want. You might have to press record. Like, what the fuck has happened here?
It was hilarious.
One of my favourite memories from first time Vegas was following Mystery back to the hotel room, the hotel rooms when we were going home the day after. So we'd essentially gone out, we were pretty baked, and just following you back all the way through the casino, just losing it. And it was just this, like, fucking gangly insect man walking through. And I'm still behind, Dan's filming that, and I was like, this isn't real, but yeah.
When was that? Was that on the last day?
That was the last day before we came
over. One thing that, as well, because before you left, you asked if we could pick Nick up from the airport as well.
I heard that on their podcast. They said the Raptors were meant to pick us up.
Is that right?
Dan came for me in the end.
Yeah.
And we got home and they were a melted mess. Or something like that. They were just a mess.
Is that what they said?
Because I wasn't sure whether I was going to be back. So I said to these two, I said to you first, so you were in the kitchen.
Well, I didn't have a license anyway, so it wasn't directed at me.
No.
So I was like, I'm sure he can do it.
100%.
Knowing full well that you'd all just had all this oil on these on these cookies. I said to Mystery, if I'm not back by 10:30, will you go and pick Nick up from the airport? And Mystery was like, yeah, of course. And I thought, I'm just going to double check with somebody else in the group. So you were sat on the sofa, and I said to you, are you all right to drive to the airport? Because I didn't realise you'd done the edibles or anything like that. I said, you're right to nip and pick Nick up. And you were like, yeah, no problem.
This was before it properly hit.
And
then when did paranoia start kicking there? And you thought, I got to drive.
What was even funnier is that they're having a conversation over WhatsApp with Nick, who's now at the arrivals area at the airport, about, is Dan coming to pick you up? And they're not checking their phone because they're afraid of the reply being, you're going to come and get us.
If we don't look, it doesn't count. Fuming, didn't see it.
You actually messaged Nick, didn't you? Like,
yeah, I did.
Terminal
I just...
Like, no, terminal 3.
Yeah, I was just checking the terminal number, but obviously it was wrong.
With no intention of going to pick him up. You couldn't even stand up.
Sat on a settee, spinning car keys.
Brilliant.
There was such an easy solution to that as well, but it just felt like we were trying to decipher the Da Vinci Code.
Just like, Dan, can you do it?
We could have just got him an Uber. Just call me when you get here, we'll book you an Uber. Everyone chill out.
Yeah.
Instead, it was just
why did you not get to that conclusion?
Because
so much going on.
Oil my reaction really was based off everyone else, and Wad was being like stressing out, and then I could tell you were just went all insular and just weird. So then I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. What's
4 hours left.
Yeah, it's all right. It'll jump to 8 in about 2 minutes.
Will it?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But it's worth it.
Is it?
Yeah.
What are you downloading?
That's just installing COD.
COD. What else is to talk about? Haven't talked about the fights, yeah. Well, do you want to talk about the Vegas fights first?
Dude.
What do you reckon?
I do.
Good stoppage. Main event, good stoppage, bad stoppage.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, good.
It was fine.
We don't need to go. Cobby's just bitching, trying to get a rematch.
It's the best thing that could have happened for him. It gave him a reason to be pissed off that it wasn't. If it wasn't that, it would have been the decision's bullshit. I'm pissed off at the judges. Do you know what I mean? If he'd have stopped him, it would have been a bad stoppage. No matter what, you're not going to get a positive reaction from Colby.
Yeah.
But what it did make me realise is how much... I mean, even though it came out in all the MMA press just before that, Colby decided to go, I'm only pretending. I'm not, it's like me. I'm all right. I'm not a dickhead.
Yeah, he did backtrack.
And it's like, oh, come on, dude. I quite like... At the minute, it's that bad, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just... With what he's saying, the way that he like stutters over his badly scripted stuff and like messes up his own shit speeches, I quite like it. I like the fact that he's a tough bastard that gets his jaw broken and carries on for another two rounds or three rounds, whatever the fuck it was. So like, he is the character that you want to see, either you want to see win or you want to see beat badly every time. So he's polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Usman, he's an impressive guy, but he's not. It's not that same sort of weird character that you stick out to want to see. But saying that, what did I put on here?
Who do you want to see Usman fight next? Masvidal? No.
And Masvidal deserves that, but it's if you're asking me, would I like
Leon Edwards? To be fair,
yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's still a bit of a child friendly fight, isn't it?
But I feel
do you know
like,
what I mean? As opposed to a scrap, like a proper fucking...
I don't know, man. I mean,
that was a dogfight. The last one was... I'm not saying that Leon Edwards isn't a good fighter by any stretch, but when you put something on a poster, when it's like Nate and Masvidal or Connor and Jose, it was like
it's raw. It's not a Goosebumps fight.
No,
it's not. But it's a legit who's the best welterweight in the world fight.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think Edwards has got a damn good chance. Especially with what he was doing in the clinch against Gunnar, you know, with those elbows. Remember that single necktie elbow that he landed?
Yeah.
I just think he paces himself really well. Has he fought over five? Yeah, he beat Cowboy over five rounds, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think his pace over five rounds is good, and I think it's slightly faster than Usman's.
He lost a decision to Usman, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Was that his last loss?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But then, because obviously the whole story was trying to build up to Woodley versus Leon, wasn't it? And he sort of just flat out refused London. I don't know if he's got, not that Woodley's got bigger than his station, but you know like when Rashad did it years ago and Rashad was the champion, he's like, I'm waiting for John. And he sort of just waited himself out. No, he wasn't the champion, he was waiting for his shot at John.
Mm.
And he sort of just waited himself out and into obscurity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the sport picked up, and it was always just on that massive, like, that journey to get even bigger. And Rashad was sort of, he was big at the time, and he could have, like, really drawn it out, and he didn't. He just sort of waited on the sidelines. And with Woodley doing what he's doing, I know he's doing a bit, is he rapping?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Woodley, I don't know if he's just seen the Fresh Prince too many times.
I'm not, it's not my kind of music, but I understand he's doing fairly well.
But that's almost when, like, Ronda went into movies. Do you remember? And it was like...
He doesn't like me still.
Really?
We worked together in Vancouver and we shared a car ride to the arena.
Oh man.
And he didn't speak to me for about 20 minutes.
Was it like that?
And he couldn't help. He needed to tell somebody about his new single, so he had to talk to me because I was the only option.
Did it feel a bit like that film with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis?
It's just
Due Date
when you're driving along together. That's great. A little bit.
I feel like Woodley's too high maintenance. For the UFC, for himself.
He is a little bit.
I think he has changed a lot. When you go back to the old embedded days when he was with his family and he was like getting ready, when it was like Affliction had thrown up over the promotion. Can you remember?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, he seemed so humble and everything. Whereas I think he saw a bit of that Connor sort of shtick and he took it in a little bit. But the problem was, similar to Usman, before they were champions, they were both considered quite boring. If you remember, Woodley didn't have that massive knockout of Robbie Lawler. He was fighting poorly in
that cross check there.
He did, which he won a lot of fans from that. But it's only when
100 times.
Yeah, on a GIF. It's only when he became champ that he started getting a bit more exciting. Do you know what I mean? He got a bit more.
Who, Woodley?
Yeah.
I'd have said he'd gone the other way. I'd have said he was more exciting before he was champion. When he became champion, he had, Wonderboy, Maya.
Oh, yeah. I suppose you're right.
Wonderboy, Maya, Usman. Was that right?
Was Wonderboy his first defence?
I think so. He knocked out Robbie for the belt, and then he had two defences against Wonderboy. Let me just Google it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, all right then. Usman then. Usman's most exciting fight was definitely the Colby one.
I'll be Jamie.
Usman's most exciting fight has been the Colby one though, right?
Yeah. See, I think there's been so many super fights recently, and I just feel that now Usman should fight the person who really does deserve it the most. And I do feel like that's Leon. Yeah. And I think if they were to fight, then you could perhaps do something fun with.
Yeah.
Because whoever's left out of that, you've got to fight Masvidal. You have Leon. They've obviously got some grudges from UFC London. That would be great.
That would be a good fight.
And
and Robbie, I think Robbie could be back in the mix as well.
For sure, yeah.
Wonderboy, Maya, Darren Till, Usman. So we had four defences, one drawn, three victories.
Yeah, and Darren Till was really good.
I mean, those Wonderboy fights and the Maya fight were...
Well, it made more sense in my head when I was thinking it on my walk, but clearly I was completely wrong. But Usman's fight with Colby was exciting. I can take that from it. But I don't know.
It was a great fight.
Yeah, really, I mean, you can't... There's just nothing you can't take away from either of them. They completely put it out there. I mean, Usman to me seemed to have a bit more of a game plan. Colby sent a bit. I don't know. He sent frustrated because obviously he got a fucking broke jaw, dude.
Yeah.
But he stayed in there, man. It's hard if you're backing someone and it does stop a minute before the end, because you can always, even when you like watch Frankie this weekend, you're like, two more minutes, come on, Frankie. You just got that. And we've seen it a few times where people are saved by the bell or just completely turn it round.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you've got to be so careful as well.
I didn't have Colby winning the fight though. I don't think. I think I had it 3-1 to Usman. But then again, I've not watched it back since the night. So because as soon as that event was over, I was straight into the career card, which we'll talk about in a bit. But
yeah.
I still felt like Colby was losing anyway. So even if he'd have made it the distance, I still don't think he would have lost.
With those judges though, I think it's easy to always err on you're going into a draw on a 5-rounder, because the thing is, the amount of decisions we've seen, which are just full tilt, pure dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are you even watching? Do you know what I mean? So, I wouldn't have been mad. I don't think, if you looked at the toughness side of things with what Colby's gone through, with the game plan of what Usman's gone through, if they had gone in 2-2 and it was a draw or whatever, I don't think anyone would have been pissed off. Do you know what I mean? It was pretty close.
Yeah.
But I quite like the storyline by the end of it with the pair of them. Because they both wanted to hurt each other.
It was. You could tell, like, it kind of faded off during the fight, even in the atmosphere in the stadium. And then towards the end, it slowly picked up. But you could just tell that they were just trying to hurt each other.
Yeah.
Proper out for it. But
yeah,
I think sometimes it's nice when you get the embrace afterwards, or you get that. You can, like, even with Shamrock and Tito, with a load of people. I mean, obviously you with Marcus. Dave Marcus ran out the cage, didn't he, afterwards? But
That was weird though, because right after the event, right as soon as the bell rang at the end of the fight, we shook hands and kind of nodded, and then after that he didn't want to talk to me, so it was kind of weird. But yeah,
but it is always good. Even
you get respect for someone that you fight with.
Yeah.
After a fight like that, it doesn't matter who it is.
Did you see Jose and Connor on Twitter when everyone was worried about Jose looking like someone had put him in a tumble dryer, and they were all worried about him looking skinny? But Connor came through and sort of was like, do you know what? I think he's doing it right. He's doing this and was really complimentary and good luck on your fight. And Jose even commented to say, I've got respect for him.
Yeah.
Which I think...
How did you feel about that decision?
Fucking...
Yeah.
Just seething. Because, I don't know, he just...
I had Jose,
for real.
I had Jose 2-1.
All day.
Second and third.
Why the fuck did he not kick at all?
I was saying that to Wad the whole time.
Not one leg kick. Not one. It was weird. And I was like,
but then again, same with Max Holloway. Like, dude. Like, I think it was the end of the fourth round, the stat was 68 leg kicks to zero for Volkanovski.
Man. It's when Joe kept saying, I don't know if they're going to score the leg kicks. I'm thinking, if they don't score the leg kicks, fucking Volkanovski wasn't even in the fight. Yeah, are you fucking mad?
Not to jump around, but did you see the Alexander Rakic's leg?
It looked like his knee had a knee.
It looked like his knee had a knee.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, against Usman.
It was like, it was as soon as the second round had started, Volkan landed a kick on it, and it was like there was a little like stripe of swelling. It looked like a fucking party sized Mars like bar under his skin. And like, I was literally, I was completely distracted by it. And I've not listened to the commentary back, but I'm sure I wasn't talking about anything else. It was just slowly swelling up, and I was watching it. And every now and then, Volkan would kick it, and then you'd see it go. And it was like, by the end of it, it was just.
That was like Faber's eye.
Yeah, against Peter Yan. Swelled up bad.
That went down real quick, though.
That was a beating, wasn't it? How good's Peter Yan?
The thing was, it looked like Faber was really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And when he fought Simon and he got that stoppage, I felt it was kind of quick at the time. I had nothing. Don't get me wrong, you know I love Faber to bits. And I've followed his entire career. So when he retired, I was kind of like, cool, I can live with that. That's wicked. Because you see so many people go past and go through too long. And when it was out and I'm 40, I'm coming back. And he did what he did. And I was like, okay, that's cool. So you tick that box. We're good. We're out. And then the UFC are like, oh, fuck that guy. We're going to give you the hardest guy in the... Like, yo, I thought that Faber was your boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he stole some stuff off the set of like him and Snoop Dogg. Do you know what I mean? Or if he was not sharing the juice. But when he came and he was against Peter Yan, he just looked his age to a degree, because he was slightly just a bit too late on things, a bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
And a 10-year younger Faber, it would have been a lot closer. But
yeah.
Peter Yan was almost doing that thing. Every time he dropped him, he was just like, oh, what you got?
They were chatting a lot, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And it was, was hard to see.
Faber's right at that level where he's, you know, what is he ranked? Anybody know?
No, he wasn't ranked because he'd been retired. So I think it's either 12 or nothing.
Is it?
I think so. But did you notice how many people over the last few events have been knocked down like the Turtles used to fall when you were playing that game on the Mega Drive? Can you remember the Turtles game? And when you run out of energy, it'd go, they'd fall onto their bum and go, ah, shell-shocked. Can you remember? It was like the arcade game, Turtles Arcade.
I never had a Mega Drive.
Oh,
I never played it at my friend's house.
Oh, okay. Well, even when the ream got hit, he just sort of went down like a toddler.
Dude,
sitting.
Have you seen how fast he's healed?
He's like Wolverine.
I asked the question at the fucking Q&A the other day. Nobody was getting up asking questions, and I'm like, how is nobody asking about his lip? Ridiculous.
The fact that it's not flapping.
It was like...
Oh, over him.
Yeah.
It looks like it didn't even happen.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what's that, 12 days?
Crazy.
Insane. Must have had some kind of plastic surgery on.
Yeah, he must
have. Yeah, the UFC would put him through that.
Amazing. I can't believe it.
Insane.
Faber was ranked 10th after the Simone fight.
Okay.
And they haven't updated it.
Still one of the best in the world. He's just not quite...
And I think they could have done that. They could have flipped it with Yan and Moraes and Jose and
Faber. You reckon we're going to get Aldo against Faber at bantamweight?
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be fun.
I'd like that.
Both coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Well, if Jose doesn't throw any kicks.
Yeah.
Because basically he smashed Faber's legs.
Dude, that was ridiculous.
So
his leg looked like a purple sausage.
It's horrible.
It was bad.
So I was fuming with that. Fuming with the Jose decision.
Yeah.
Pretty gutted for Faber because, let's be honest, the win for Yan didn't do that much.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like you went, oh, that's Peter Yan. Yeah. And now I'm invested. It's just not, it didn't do anything for me because.
No.
No, not really.
It did for me a tiny bit, to be fair.
But Yan, he's been on a tear, man. He's just a fucking cyborg.
Yeah,
but to be there, I think to be there as well.
All right.
It definitely, yeah, it definitely heightens the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like I was coming. Me and Wad had an edible, and I was
there's a pattern. Work.
And I was coming up just as Faber was coming out, and then
the chilies dropped.
And it was just like it was powerful. It was really good, man.
Powerful.
I was just sat there just looking at Wad.
It's so beautiful. With Wad talking to his chair. I know all the words there.
I wasn't far off crying.
Well, yeah.
I looked at one and we just looked at each other. We both just giggled and just coughed.
I heard that after the Nunes fight as well. It was just like, I think she did like a, she did quite a touching speech.
Yeah.
To Harris's daughter.
Uh huh.
It was quite moving.
Yeah.
Man.
Were you surprised she didn't get the finish?
Yeah, I thought he was going to be stopped in the first.
In the first, man.
That point where Durandamy was about to tap from the arm try.
Yes.
And she released it.
And she just mauled her. So, and I think if she, it was almost like, you need to slow down a little bit, take a breath. A
little bit too much respect for her, maybe. Liked maybe. Her a bit too much, perhaps. What I feel like she'd have blasted through some of, you know, some other people.
What I did love,
if
you watch that fight again, listen out for DC saying Jermaine Durandamy, because the amount of times he's like, Jermaine.
I didn't have the we didn't have the commentary.
Jermaine Durandamy, but it's because it's quite similar.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, he was like Randomay, Jermaine. And then because I was cooked watching it, I was like Jermaine Durandamy. What? Jermaine Durandamy. And honestly, all I could focus on was just them trying to pick a bit of Jermaine Durandamy's name. Look at Jermaine now. Yeah, she's throwing up a triangle.
It is so difficult, though. I kept messing up Saeed Nurmagomedov's name. Because, like, when the fight's going and there's, like, a load of shit happening, like, and you're trying to get a name out, it's just, like, you can screw up any name. It's so easy.
So many syllables.
The trouble is, when you try, like, when we did one of the first podcasts, it was not even video. And you said, we were talking about Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
And you said to me, what's his name? And it was Nurmagomedov.
Mm-hmm.
But my lips are still wanting to go sideways.
Yeah.
Nurmagomedov.
That's because you listen to Fight Disciples too much. Nurmagomedov is what
I do have to block out the names.
My dad's the worst, man. I picked him up from the airport and he was like, oh yeah, I was watching UFC 245 and he was commenting and then he was just like, he called Khabibi. He was saying instead of MMA, it's UFC boxing.
Oh my God. Don't mix the martial arts, Dad. We've already done that. We've kept that into three letters. Come on, when I first went on Sherdog forums back in the day, I mean, years and years ago, and I wrote a comment and I'd referred to someone as UFC fighter because they were.
Uh-huh.
And this guy came out there with his full fucking what's its fingers and his fat fucking belly and he's like, oh, I think you'll find it's MMA, mixed martial arts, it's not just UFC, they're not the only promotion. And I was like, fucking yo, chill the fuck out, bro, because basically on their forum you were graded by belt the same as if like you were in judo or jits or whatever. And because I'd been there for years and just been looking, because I didn't have a lot of time to comment because I was working in a bank, so I'd see a lot of it but not really pass comment, I was a white belt. And then these guys are like fucking self-certified black belts, just fucking ripping me. I'm like, yo.
I love the fact I've got a. I don't ever go on forums anymore, but I've got an account on the underground on mixedmartialarts.com, and it's, I think I've posted like 12 times, but my account started like, you know, back before the internet was a thing. Like, it's the oldest account, but I've hardly ever posted. I quite like them. I don't do forums anymore. We used to do Cage Warriors forum all the time, and that was like the Cage Warriors forum back in the day was like the center of mixed martial arts in the UK.
In the UK,
it was like everything that was relevant was on that forum. That was where the Outlaw came from, the nickname. That's when I first started using that. Like Paul Daly's nickname on there was KGB, which stood for Keeps Getting Better. And then we all had like a little signature underneath, and it was like Team Rough House, and you know. And every
like a
day,
clan.
Yeah, it was like every day I would go on the forum. It was like, check my emails, check my MySpace, and check the Cage Warriors forum.
Your Pucker Shell bead on.
Yeah. There were so many fights made on there, and like rivalries and trash talking. Like the Marcus Davis thing. Like that whole thing with Marcus Davis started from the Cage Warriors forum. Because I found a photo of him online. It was him wearing a kilt leaning up against the wall, and I just posted that on the Cage Warriors forum and was like, hey, look at this photo I found. And those guys were fucking Photoshop savages. They were evil, and they ran with this thing, and they Photoshopped him in all kinds of different things, which we don't need to.
He did have a sense of humor though, didn't he?
No, not at all. No, not about that in any way at all. He was furious. And But that just went out of control. And then the Cage Warriors forum then kind of started to leak over into the US forums, and then it spread like wildfire. Yeah. And yeah, but that was a lot of fun, those forums were.
I think the closest thing we get to forums now is when any video is uploading. If you look at the comments on the...
Yeah, when it's, I do like reading premiering. The comments. I do reply to them sometimes. Yeah, yeah, if ever you see comments that have replied, if it says Dan, that is me. Because I do reply to them sometimes. There were a bunch of people, like literally if they were in front of me saying that, I would have slapped them across the face just for the ignorance. Like, you can't be a fan of mixed martial arts and not know the Enter the Dragon soundtrack.
Yeah, what the fuck?
You can't do it. You can't do it.
And you can't refer to it as creepy porn music.
Like take UFC 1, trade it in and get Enter the Dragon. Start there. Like, oh my goodness.
You have to. You have to know. Don't think, feel.
Yeah, these guys were sick of me in Vegas. We put Enter the Dragon on and I can't help but quote.
That's it.
I can't help but quote.
I've never seen it before that.
We've just been watching 36 Chambers, which is going to be the theme of the January Vegas trip movie.
Yeah. Which is not long now, man.
Which we're going to book soon. And Owen's going to come on, you.
There you go. This time. Don't tell anyone yet.
I won't tell anyone. But
yeah. When Steve starts getting texts going, I didn't think he was going away again. Not till March.
She don't sound like that.
No, she doesn't.
You won't be able to tell me impressions of her like that.
No.
We'll edit this out.
I'm not allowed to. Yeah.
I'll dub it with
Sweetheart. I think as soon as Wad hears this, he's going to be like, you're going to want to edit loads of it out. There'll be nothing less.
Yeah. Me and Wad had an edible. Me and Peep had an edible. And then Peep came through.
Wad is a savage, man.
Savage.
He is. It took me by surprise. I thought he'd be like, oh, I'll do one after like 8 p.m. or it's like waking up. On it, man.
What was he doing to you?
When in Vegas,
that was a
right?
funny sound.
It was good renting a place though, instead of staying in hotel rooms. Because when we went in July, we stayed in hotels, and as fun as that was, it's like weed's legal, but you can't smoke in the hotels.
No,
you can't smoke on hotel property.
But we did have a lot of cops and robbers with the security guards of the hotel. Because bear in mind, the hotel is like 1,000 floors up. It's fucking massive. The car park's like it's
fucking jobs
however
driving around in these wagons, in these trucks.
Just and it was like Pac-Man. So you've got these four trucks just going boop 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 all around, like inky blinky
like
Pinky and Clyde.
Think about it.
Going
like
around
that.
The fucking car park.
It was.
And we're up on the roof like
we're watching them coming.
Nope, trying to fucking get through these pellets. Like, is that a cigarette? Maybe the best one.
Yeah, the driver.
The best one was Mystery stood at the side. Bear in mind, it's so fucking high, and you're just leaning on the side of this car park. And he was like, yeah. And like, really digging this fucking joint. And then this truck pulled up because when we were with Dan.
Was this when we were outside?
Yeah. When we were with Dan, we were way more careful because he's recognizable. When we were ourselves, we were like, we'll just do it here. And if we get told off, we'll stop. So we were like, no, there was a couple of times. It might have been when we were down the bottom. Yeah, we're outside the front of the casino in the corner. Having a joint, and this truck pulled up, and he went, "Is that marijuana?" And he was like, "Say it, mate. Is that marijuana in your hand?" And he was like, "Sorry, but I can't hear you. What are you saying?" And he's like, "Are you smoking marijuana?" And he's like, "Are you saying marijuana? Sorry." And then he got out, and he was like, like on the Big Lebowski with the hair tweezers with the pick.
What's the one with Snoop Dogg? Is it Half Baked?
Yeah, yeah.
Where Snoop Dogg just appears out of nowhere. He's like, let me hit that one time. Yeah. And he burns the whole thing down.
Yeah. Just like on Friday. So now all he's got is a burnt roach in his fingers. And he's got out and he's like, are you smoking marijuana? And he's like, yeah, I was. It's legal here, isn't it? And he was like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, oh, fair enough. It's gone now. So he drove off and he said, should we roll another one?
It's honestly, that. Like imagine the money that you would make if you opened the first hotel that had a marijuana smoking area. Like, what's the deal?
You wouldn't
with
be
that?
Able to move.
It'd be amazing. Yeah,
you gotta lie. Yeah, yeah, but don't fucking spark
you
it. You'll kill
you
four
even
people.
Need to spark up. You'd just be able to breathe, and it'd be. Yeah.
Now that was high rollers walking into that place. Insane.
That was amazing.
Good. Yeah. It was a good time.
Oh. That's one of the coolest. I think that's.
Yeah.
Do you know what I was thinking about this? Obviously, we've never
been.
Should we have
a 2019 review?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Because we're doing, we're heading to Amsterdam in a couple of days.
Yes, you are.
To work, but we're working. It's a work trip, of course.
Yep.
We just need to be elsewhere to focus.
It's called the Bulldog Bar.
No, I don't like that place.
Okay, scratch that. Edit.
I've got a few other spots. Anyway, we're putting together a photo book, like a limited edition coffee table book. It's going to be spectacular.
Classy as fuck.
It is. Yes. How did I get into that?
Because you were going to do a review.
Review. Oh, that's of it. Yeah. So we need to have a review of 2019, like favorite moments.
Right.
It's been a bit
I've been thinking
idea,
about this.
Have you?
Yeah. I think about this all the time. To be fair, I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Because
we had a look. The first video went up day before Valentine's Day, didn't it? On the channel.
Yeah.
So that's like official star podcast. Day.
Yeah. So that's when that's when we got it all together, isn't it? And when we started pushing the boat out, but. I think for me personally,
and you can cry if you want to. It's okay. It's a safe place. How has that still got 4 hours left? We've been.
That's what I'm fucking saying, man. It lies like a motherfucker.
Do we need to turn the light on? Is that going to look weird? Are we going to start to look like Smurfs because it's all blue?
Can we get white hats?
It might be getting a bit dark, but I'll sort this out after I've told this. But
in case you start crying,
yeah.
Okay.
For me, one of the best moments of the year definitely was when. Dan asked, well, you were going out to go to Florida to go film some Amanda Nunes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan obviously asked if I wanted to come and we could make some content in and around American Top Team or AT&T.
AT&T.
I think, to be fair, I persuaded you to do that. It wasn't you asking. And my highlight was the Masvidal day. I think that's probably one of the best days of my life, as pathetic as that might sound. It was amazing. Because the best thing about it is none of it was scripted. It all happened from just improvising and hanging out. And you, I don't know where you were to start with. I think you were doing something with BT Sport, weren't you?
I can remember exactly where I was.
I was
walking between trains, like an hour away from the gym.
And you would drop me off.
Just for one cutaway shot.
We pulled up outside the gym. That's exactly what it was for. We'd pulled up outside the gym and they called me and they were like, are you nearby? I'm like, yeah, we just pulled up outside.
Because that's where we thought we were meeting them.
Yeah. I'm like, outside where? We're at the gym. Oh, no. No, we'll send you a location. We need to get a shot of you walking between these two trains. I'm like, hang on a minute.
Sparring
at AT&T.
Have you had your tetanus shot?
Dude, I got sent a fucking video the other day of Mike Perry telling the story. SB Nation, Tetris. I think. Tetris, I sent it to you.
Mate,
talk about a Tetris shot.
It's fucking gold.
Anyway, sorry, derailed that one. I'll tell you that story in a minute.
So we were at the American Top Team.
So we pulled up outside and they caught, and I'm like, sparring's now. Like what the fuck, why are we not here? Yeah, we need to get the shot. You're walking between these two trains. I'm like, are you mental? First of all, it's Florida, so it's balls hot. It's fucking gross hot. Like, can't move for sweating. They want me to drive down to this spot and walk between these two trains. And I got there, and it's horrendous. And they're trying to get this shot. And I'm walking along, and it's like, I've got flip-flops on. Because I'm thinking I'm just going to wander into the gym,
take them off.
Onto the mats. And so I'm walking along in these fucking flip-flops, walking along these rocks between all the train lines. These like bottles of piss just fucking scattered around. It was gross. And I'm thinking, there's like 20 or 30 UFC MMA contenders
sparring
on the mat sparring, and I'm here doing this.
Avoiding Hep C.
So you left me, didn't you?
So fortunately, I'd left Mystery, and by the time he was there, he'd become best friends with Masvidal.
Of course he had.
And they tattooed each other's names on their bum cheeks.
I wish.
You would, wouldn't you? You would.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go first.
He changed his Tinder profile just to hope Masvidal pops up on him.
To tattoo him with his whacker.
So by the time I got there, you'd already had a good chat with him and stuff, hadn't you?
Yeah, I'd had a little chat with him and asked if we could do some, when Dan gets here, if we could do some stuff. And he was like, yeah, sure, man, but I'm going in an hour. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I was like, messaged you and I was like, oh, when do you think you'll be back? And you were like, probably an hour. I was just like, oh, fuck. So I was just praying it came off, and luckily he came through the doors and he was just finishing up, wasn't it? And then and if you want to see it, it literally starts from that moment, doesn't it? Masvidal starts packing up. You start chatting to him. And then after, he asked if we wanted to come down to his ends and just come hang out and watch him like run on the track.
He was doing sprints that evening, wasn't he?
Yeah, and that track... I'd seen in what's that thing called again?
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, the by what? Genghis Khan, Masvidal's video guy, and it's called. Oh my god! There's a whole series out on YouTube, and it's with like Colby Covington, Masvidal, when they all used to live together.
Tales of the Grind.
Tales of the Grind. Yeah. That's it. It's really good. There's a lot of Yoel Romero in there. And in there, they spend a lot of time at this track and field place. Like, Yoel's there a lot. And like, I just remember turning up like, fuck, this is the place.
Remember the drive down there? The thunderstorm?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous, this thunderstorm. Horrendous. Driving down there. It was like we was like down like 20 miles an hour on the motorway because it was... The rain was so heavy.
Shit.
You were like, calling him, I'm like, are you still doing sprints? By the time we got there, he'd already started, hadn't he?
Yeah.
But it was cool because it had rained and it was like Florida hot, humid, and like all the rain's evaporating, but then it's still thunderstorms going in the background and stuff. And he was like shadowboxing under the bleachers and
with his dad.
Wicked conversation. Yeah. Really good.
And Abe as well.
Yeah. That's almost 500,000 views on our channel, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's crazy.
To think that came out of just nothing known, yeah. Just like being proactive.
They're the best.
They are the best.
They're
for
the
sure.
best. Would you say that's your top pick?
For me,
we don't have to be in it. You don't have to worry.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's why I'm picking it. Yeah. But for me, that was, even to this day, man, sometimes I think about that and I'm like, fuck, that was so cool. Yeah. There's something that I'll die and be like, that was cool. That's fuck. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be many more, but that was number one for me so far. And then the others were probably Nate Diaz fights, and seeing Nate fight, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How about you? And you?
There's so many. It's hard to pick one. But yeah. I'd say the day, probably when we were in LA, and we went to Rogan's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went to the beach afterwards. That day was good.
It's pretty upsetting, ain't it? It's not, but it is in a weird way that we have. Usually in my life, I'll have one of these experiences every 2 years, and I remember it. Like, I'm like, yeah, keep thinking about that. Now they're happening weekly, and it's just like, man, I don't know where to store some of these fucking amazing memories.
Pushing
like,
the old shit out of your brain every time you have a new experience. Like,
yeah. Good thing we have a YouTube channel, really, where we can archive all this shit.
That's it, yeah. Go back and remember.
Well, that's what the book's going to be about, because we've got like 6 million photos of all kinds of stuff. So we're going to put this book together. And
we've got some, and it's not like amateur shit either. It's like top quality stuff, man. Yeah. Like some, even like,
got some good portraits of people as well.
And I act surprised, and I probably shouldn't be, but some of Dan's photos are genuinely like proper good, man. Like, I come from a photography background, did it at uni, have a massive passion in photography and street photography and photojournalism, and some of the photos you've got are just ridiculous. They are, they're really fucking good, man. Like some of the Abu Dhabi ones,
infuriatingly like, good.
Yeah, no, like happily good. No, like I'm
oh,
like,
you did that, did you? No, it's sick. Good. Yeah,
no, I didn't. Honestly, it's just like in a patronizing way, but like it's, I was like proud. I was like, yeah, my dude, it was good shit.
Thanks,
man.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah,
so we've got a lot of cool stuff to come out, man. Together. Yeah.
So go on. So what was yours on the LA Rogan podcast?
Going Rogan podcast and go just. Driving
just
around LA
the whole time.
Yeah, but there's been so many days. I mean, I really enjoy like the IMAF tournaments as well. Like, in Rome was really good. Yeah, so many good days from the past.
IMAF is pretty amazing, ain't it?
Yeah. Just seeing the sport from that kind of level and how it develops, and
I think number one is just like really inspiring, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. Makes you, I mean, want to get involved in sport and competing level as well, like massively. But yes,
because one of the best, and we spoke about this there, one of the coolest things about IMAF is like you see the losers, but it's, and in jiu-jitsu there's a similar sense of like when you lose it's not the end of the world, and you can almost take more inspiration out of the loser than the winner in those environments.
Yeah.
And that's like that, yeah, I think that's 100%. So interesting,
yeah,
because you come away and you're just like, man, fair play, did it, you gave it, and it's, yeah, there's something about it that's really honest and just like
and
beautiful.
Seeing the same people, because obviously we were in Rome for the Europeans and going to the Worlds in Bahrain, seeing the same people competing again It was really good.
Yeah, watching their progression.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Like going back and meeting the same people, it's good.
It's like Mohamed Mokhaev, like we first heard about him in Rome, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And heard amazing things, and then we was anticipating, I wonder how he was going to be this time around in Bahrain, and it was just like, it stepped up a level. Domination. That like...
Yeah.
Well, that's cool to see a progression from a different level, because
that's what I'm saying.
There are no lights, there are no cameras, essentially. Mm. It's not like the big show. It's they're still putting in 110%, but you're going to have known them now from this level. And it's like, you know when you hear Nick Peake talking about Tony Bellew? He's followed him everywhere. He's known him forever. And the thing is, it's a weird one of those things that you don't always have to justify a friendship. Or it's like if Nick and Tony are seen together, it's not like he goes, he's my mate.
Mm.
He's my mate, by the way. Like when we know what it's like, obviously when we're with Dan, it's different to when you're not with Dan. But you don't ever have to just continuously...
It's his chat up line.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I tell you what.
Do you know the outlaw? Red Mohawk.
Just saying.
Wikipedia.
Just adding the UFC like into your job title on Tinder is just... Help me a million. I hope none of these girls are watching.
Yeah. What do you do? I frustrate the fuck out of the UFC profile. But yeah, it's nice to see that. And the thing is, you're bringing that to everyone else as well, because obviously we can't all get out there. So when you get to see that, it is, and I've always said it before about like just consuming content. And it's been recent with the UFC where there's not been as many fights, but you still need to you still need something. If it's The Ultimate Fighter or Bellator or whatever it is, just something. Yeah, just something to grab. Like the Polaris clip's gone fucking bonkers. And essentially it was a lot of feedback of people just having a bit of wrestle match. Mm. But you still need to know you've seen it. It's like the Rampage and Fedor fight on New Year's Eve. It's not the best, but it's still something. So
it's the Ghost of Christmas Past, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like that line. Yeah,
Ghost of Christmas Past. Like that fight in 2004 would have been shit up.
Yes,
that fight now is
to quote Joe Rogan is when he says,
"Still got 4 hours left."
Exactly, it ain't Space Mountain. But there's no queue. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's true. There is still something.
Adam Hunter put a post out the other day. It was good. Are you going to check the lights? Yeah. Adam Hunter put a post out the other day. He has some fucking great tweets. And it was about Bellator. And he said Bellator's like...
It's nearly gone pitch black.
Do you need to re-record that whole sentimental statement?
We could, it'd be fine.
It's all right. It's all part of the fun. Are you all good?
Yeah, yeah. I can see my buttons. Slippers now.
Was it not recording?
Nah, I'm just bumping up the ISO.
Okay. I don't know what that means. Yeah. Yeah, bump up the ISO.
That's what you did in your photography course, isn't it?
Yeah. I just press buttons
no
and hope
other
it works.
Options left.
Yeah, plug them back in.
As you were, gentlemen.
Fucking clip you the other week. Crack me up.
Oh,
when we're sat with your pink drink. Your pink drink. It smelled like fucking perfume.
To be
awful.
Fair, right? So it was. Just to be fair, I don't know.
You did, to be fair. You've done a lot.
Oh, God. Every single
count.
Was that the ropey baby sham?
It was
a weird
pink drink.
Yeah, but what happened was, I turned up and me and Wad were, I was surprised we were on the same wavelength here, because he was like,
"Wad had an edible."
he goes, "Oh, do you know what, I fancy a mojito." And I was like, "Me too, get me one of them." So we asked the woman and she was like, "Oh, we don't have a mojito." And we were like, "What?" So we were shocked. So we were just looking through, and I won't actually say what I said actually, but I asked for a fruity drink. I just thought, yeah, fuck it, I just want a fruity drink. I didn't expect it to come on a plate, you know what I mean? It was like on a little plate with like just, there's probably about that much juice in there, wasn't there? It wasn't a lot at all. So I was pretty devastated when I actually saw the product, because I thought it'd come in a glass. But it just came in a martini glass.
It looked like a baby shot glass. Yeah, proper skinny stem.
And it cost about 100 quid. So that's like walk over to the table with like Veronica, Dan, like everybody else with this fucking lame
choke
drink.
It down.
What?
It was nice though, so.
Yeah, that was funny.
It is what it
no,
is.
No, the clip of, anyway.
No, yeah, I know, yeah.
You know which clip I mean.
I do.
What do you take away? Highlight this year?
Oh, man. I have just been so many places, it's difficult for me to think where I've been. I tell you a weird highlight, which came to mind the other day again. Sitting on my bed in Shenzhen with the window and with the window curtain open, because the window was massive, listening to Tool's new album for the first time. It was practically psychedelic, because all, like, Shenzhen, as weird and as oppressive as it felt with all the military and all that stuff there and all the cameras and shit, it's actually a beautiful city, because it's like, it's China's Silicon Valley basically. It's like the technology district, so all of the buildings have got like light shows, and there's like the whole fucking city's dancing at night. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
But in the day, it feels like Battle Royale.
A little bit, yeah.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it was bad.
Good film, though.
Yeah, good film.
I was going to say Hunger Games, but I thought people put on the messages.
I think you'll find that the other one's better. The original. It is.
Yeah, of course.
That would have been me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I watched the other day. So I'm, because I got out to South Korea, and I like got into my research, and I'd spent sort of 2 days just consuming the catalogue of fights that I got, and it got to the stage where my brain was going a bit too fast, and I had to watch something else to like switch it off. Usually Family Guy or American Dad's my go-to, but I was on Netflix thinking, oh, I'll have a look at this this Kingdom, which is a Korean, like, set in like Korean like feudal times or whatever. And bearing in mind I'm there for Korean Zombie versus Frankie Edgar, the whole fucking show's about Korean zombies.
Amazing.
The whole thing. It's very, very cool. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. I binge watched that, and now I've just started binge watching Daredevil as well, because I haven't seen that.
Mate, there's so much stuff.
Veronica's recommendation.
There you go.
It is good.
Yeah.
The Witcher, that new one that's just come out as well. That's pretty good. I'm only on like episode 4, but it's
is it good?
Good so far.
That's Jan Błachowicz's favorite book and everything. He always talks about that.
Yeah. It's a video game.
Did we do
him
a t-shirt?
Yeah.
We did him a t-shirt that said Witcher on the back.
Witcher,
yeah. You're welcome, Jan.
Yeah, we did.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know you put Witcher on the back.
I didn't fuck around, mate. That's what I do.
Mate.
You get some cool shit. You're welcome. Because I think there's a good point to say thank you to, obviously, the fans of the channel, of what you guys are doing, from supporting the Full Reptile Collective, as in coffee, supplements, clothing. Because, obviously, we're really fortunate. I mean, we're saying all these different things about how we're experiencing different stuff, but we're trying to take everyone as much as we can with us, because even for me as part of the collective, to be able to see what you guys are doing, if I'm seeing that, and obviously they're getting to see it as well, it's wicked. But without them buying into it and getting the gear, we'd be pretty much fucked.
For sure.
So
even the guys that say I sound like a 6-year-old creepy girl. Well, that's
thank you, my man.
Well, I wanted to
keep
say
keep clicking on those videos.
That's it. Yeah, keep clicking on listening
you
to
can
my, put,
you
my
can
voice.
Say whatever you want in those comments. Yeah, you click on that video.
See, for me, I want to acknowledge it, because there is a lot of people. I'm not going to call them stalkers, but there's a lot of lifelong fans. And you'll have certain people that message you.
I do.
And message you to
Josh
get through
Barker
to Dan.
Comes to mind.
Yeah, see, we've all got
Benny,
our Craig
Benny,
Smith,
Benny
Gerda,
Benny Wild,
Benny Wild.
And when I say stalkers, I mean it in a loving way, because they seem like really sound people,
sure.
And I like having conversations with them. But I've got to thank all of those people for what we've done, because I think there'll become a time when, with this going the way it's going, it's going to build an audience that will give the OGs, as in the Gerdas, and your Benny Wilds and everyone else, the chance to go, I was there from the beginning.
Yeah.
I was there for the beginning before Mystery did Love Island. it was way better.
Imagine?
Way better before Slim did Big Brother.
The spread of STDs around that place. Oh, my God, you take everybody out.
Imagine Love Island with a clump of mysteries.
Yeah. Fucking gonorrhea island.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I think there'll be a time.
I think people, I've developed stuff that just kills all of them.
That's why he's got no hair. That's why he's got no hair on the top. He's like, don't worry.
Take him, do some research on him. He's the antidote.
Put him in a test tube. Don't do that. Jesus. So, I mean,
patient X or whatever.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that was a good chance to say cheers.
Thank you.
Sure, man.
Yeah. You know what I've just noticed? This is the fucking Christmas podcast, and this is the least Christmassy we could have done.
Well,
there's no tree. There's no fucking Christmas sweaters.
I was going to bring crackers, and then I was going to be like, someone like would have gone,
shall I snow film on the video? So the snow falling.
I might badly like hover some Santa hats.
Yeah. Nice. because I was going to bring some crackers, but then I thought with Dan's audience, they're going to be like, oh, disposable waste, that's going to kill a badger. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Talking of that, before I go and do what I'm doing. On my Twitter, I've just put a thing up from change.org. I spend far too much on that website signing petitions and shit, trying to stop the world being a terrible place. Fox hunting, get on there and sign that petition. Fucking fox hunting. Christmas, Boxing Day fox hunt. They do these trail hunts. They say it's like a tradition and they chase scents. Foxes still get ripped to bits by dogs. It's fucking savage.
I want to hunt them.
Yeah.
With dogs. You know the posh cunts in the red jackets? Oh, that'd be a good ultimate fighter. Just feed them in, just into a blender.
Well, I think... yeah.
Why don't we go and batter him?
You know what? I have been thinking of this. Partly because I've been watching Daredevil.
Yeah.
I think it's time to bring back the warrior class. I said this to you guys earlier today. I think, and not knives, nothing, no hidden weapons, but swords. Like, there should be a select group of people that are trusted to carry a sword in public. And... I mean, I would just jump out of a tree and take those motherfuckers out.
You know when these schmancy motherfuckers have been training fencing at their private school the whole time and we turn up with a sword and we're like, ready, dickhead? He's like, on guard! Like, ah!
So anyway, the point is, go and find that post on my Twitter. Loads and loads of people have liked it and retweeted it. I appreciate all that.
We'll put the link in the description.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And go and sign up to change.org and start signing some petitions because it does make a difference. Anyway, carry on. I'm just going to make this show a little bit more Christmassy while you chat amongst yourselves.
Okay.
What? Hope you're bringing in some
mince pies.
Mince pies. We've got vegan mince pies.
Cute little.
It's just a box. Can pretend to eat them.
Oh, man.
Lovely. So
it's been such a good year.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, the whole thing.
It's surreal, man.
From where it's built to where it is now is bonkers, and just the journey that it's on. I've always said this before: how organic it is, how it picks up. People that either love it or hate it. I mean, I've had conversations with people who've just fucking screamed at me about something online. I'm like, okay, no worries, dude. And then before you know it, you start talking to them. They're like, oh, actually, you're quite sound. I didn't mean to do it. Okay, it's like, don't worry, dude. Like, it's easy to, it's easy behind a keyboard to scream.
Mm.
But the difference is, I think, especially you guys are bringing a lot of content and stuff that you don't normally get to see. Even showing Dan in his natural habitat is not something that is seen by every fighter. So a lot of people can like remember his fight career and stuff, but to be able to see what he's doing day in, day out, because I know there's still stuff that we don't record, but that's the important, boring stuff. Yes, here we go.
Sick, man. Sick. As if you've got...
That was last year.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
The amount of people that have tried to buy this UFC sweater off me. You can suck a dick. I'm being buried in this. I'm being burned in this. I'm being... I don't know.
Turned into a tree.
Buried, burned. What do you reckon? Cremated?
Oh, what? I think I'd be cremated.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah. I kind of like to... There's a natural graveyard on the way between Loughborough and Nottingham.
From my premonition, I don't think there's enough of me to burn.
I think you'd burn well, mate. I think you'd just...
Everyone will be high as fuck.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Have everybody stand
up. We're gathered here today.
Breathe him in. He's made of the good stuff.
That would be pretty cool if your mates could smoke you.
Hang on a
after.
Minute.
Is there any of Dan left?
Hang on a minute.
Just check the grinder.
Hang on a minute.
No.
That's just, wait, just, isn't that in a movie?
How high, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Red man.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you referring to Kissing Winkles?
From I would be up for that if I died tomorrow and everyone was up for it.
Viking burial.
You could sprinkle
cool.
a little bit of me
out to sea, fire an arrow.
Uh huh. That would be good.
I reckon you'd put that down as a request, and then someone would get to the Viking burial like help desk, and they go, "Yeah, he wanted this." They'd be like, "Yeah, it's this much," and they go, "Yeah, we're just burn him,
kick him out of a dinghy, and lob a match on him.
Yeah, kick him out of a dinghy, lob a match on him. Perfect. That's all we want. That's my highlight of the year. Slim dinghy kicking."
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like the idea of being cremated, but I think I probably will be cremated.
You reckon? Yeah.
I just don't like the idea of just being set on fire.
It is worrying to think, what if I'm not dead?
Yeah. I don't know why I started talking about this.
It's good chat.
Is it?
I think so.
Is it? Yeah. Good for the Christmas podcast.
Yeah, Christmas podcast. How would you like to be finished off, as in buried or cremated?
Yeah, I don't know. I quite like the idea of the natural burial under a tree and
yeah, that's quite cool.
Field or something.
on the tree pod.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Have you seen...
Wrap me in a, like a linen
like
sheet,
a burrito. You know,
have you seen how...
Like they're doing Braveheart. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Braveheart burial.
Have you seen how bodies decompose? Have you seen that documentary where there's actually a field that scientists use, like forensic scientists, and they'll get donor bodies and put them in certain situations in the field and just monitor how they decompose.
Really?
Like one of them, they just put in a tub, close the lid, open it, and it's just, man, it's disgusting. All this.
How did you find this documentary? How to get rid of a body.
No, man,
how to get rid of a body. There's a whole documentary.
Standard stuff, man.
Daily Raptor research.
Oh, hell yeah. It is.
Gotta be on top of these world affairs. Yeah.
Oh. I think it's a pretty interesting topic.
Yeah.
Especially if you're looking at it from the perspective of forensic scientists, and it's how people can work out how long a body's been dead for, where it's been, and it's really
just watch CSI season one.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch the real.
Yeah, what
real
was that one,
one
where a body had been the person had died in the shower and the shower had been left running on them and the water had like eroded.
And
the
they're
body.
Just people soup.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Obviously you know their bones are still there though.
Yeah, yeah, no. It'd been for days and it just like eroded a part of their body.
Right, that when if you turn up as a forensic scientist though and there was like a bath of body soup, one of them would turn to you and go, I'll give you £2 if you drink a bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just dip your little finger in it.
Yeah.
Have you seen
Mystery Wood?
Lick it for a tenner.
What,
dip
my
finger in?
You'd smoke a dead body, so you'd definitely taste it.
Nah, I wouldn't smoke a dead body.
You just said you would.
I know, I would want my mates to smoke me.
You wouldn't smoke them.
Yeah. Watch my
No, no. Yeah, we're all good. No, I might do, to be fair. If Jamie died tomorrow and one of his requests was to go somewhere cool and sprinkle me in a bit of your joint, I'd be like, my man, I'll do it.
Cheers, mate.
I've got your back, dude. I'd do that for you.
It's only right? ash, isn't it? It's just going to burn again. Nothing's going to even happen.
It's when you light it. It's bad. It's so bad.
Oh, what was I saying?
What about if you started hearing his voice in your head, though? Like on Venom.
But if
you started talking to you. But like,
head pop out.
Yeah, and slowly.
Hey, Peter.
Slowly a tattoo like, starts appearing on his leg. It says brain dead.
Boring
We're
gonna mistake
put that on the rap
of my life. I have made the most boring mistake of my life. Just there not saying anything.
Comes to work in a Corsa, we're like, the fuck, where's your car? It's like, this is my car now.
I was going to go on from that because this is quite interesting as well. Have you seen the documentary about the guy who he lives in Mexico and what he can do is he can restore dead bodies so he can get the skin back? So say you've been out in the Mexican desert for what, like 2 weeks and you've decomposed to whatever state you're at. He's developed some kind of liquid that you put the body in that rehydrates the water back into the skin and you can start seeing things that weren't there before. So you can identify bodies with tattoos that weren't there previously because now they've left them in this kind of lotion or whatever it is. It's bath.
Lotion.
Yeah. E45.
Isn't that vice?
Coconut oil.
E45.
Big bath.
It's really interesting. Mm. On the topic of dying, I thought I'd drop that one in.
Yeah, but his theory completely fucks the forensics, doesn't it? We've put him in this tub, not in my fucking tub. It's back to normal.
It's amazing what state they can, how they can rejuvenate the body from something that looks like a mummy. And then just someone that just looks yellow and dead.
I wonder if that's what they soak Hillary Clinton in. Maybe she's lazy in one of them baths overnight.
I reckon
just
there's a little alien
a crack
in
pipe.
Her head, like controlling, like in Men in Black.
That's the type of shit that I'll watch, like on Vice or something, or Discovery, and I just sit there because I'll be working in the evening. It's like 2 a.m, and the most random cod shit, Gold Rush, fucking Sea Divers, or some bollocks comes on. And I get so invested. I end up staying up like 5 hours to watch how much fucking gold they've got. Or like how many bodies they've managed to rehydrate.
I end up watching wasp videos. Like I know because I'm afraid of them, but some guy will just be like trying to impregnate a queen wasp and how they do it. And then
some guy?
End up watching it.
Come here, darling.
Pretty weird fetish.
Yeah.
Well, drink your vodka.
It's not the weirdest.
Well, I will tell you my highlight because
yes.
I didn't.
Vegas.
Definitely. But it wasn't the beginning. It was more the end because it was when we did the high rollers. And that day we got up, we went shopping. We went to High Rollers, which was fucking bonkers in itself. Then we went for tattoos.
Oh shit, was that the same day?
Yeah. Last chance. And then, so we went High Rollers with Mighty Matt, is it Leonie, and the Canamedic, met Ben Saunders. From there went to Last Chance Tattoo,
mm-hmm.
and saw Thomas and Lisa.
Yeah.
Then went back and we realised we had so much green that we basically needed to just light it all.
Yeah.
Just and that's when we filmed you going back to the room. So that was one of my absolute highlights.
That was a good one.
There's shitloads, mm-hmm. obviously, but...
There really is.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time when we went to see John Jones at BT, when we got to meet him there, that was kind of strange because it was just like chatting to a friend. Like same as... Out, yeah, same as with Abe, because I know Abe's obviously his manager, but when you see him after that, and I always say this about other people, that you meet that many people that when someone sees you, like Stefan Struve's coach, Bob, is an absolute sweetheart. He's one of my favourite people in this industry, because the first thing he says to me is, how's your kids? By name, how's your wife? And it's like, just that remembering someone means a lot to me. So when you see Abe, he's like, dude, how are you, man? How's things? And like, tells you something that we did the time before. And you're like, oh, yo, you're not just in it for a free shirt. Which a fuckload of people are in it for a free shirt, trust me.
Abe's a quality guy, yeah, and I really like that guy. Mm. He's got a real good roster of fighters as well.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, he's just, because he's got one of the top of the top of the top of the tree. I mean, he's hanging out with John the whole time. So anyone below that, they're still working their way up to his. So when he's acting the way he is and you're with John, that means a lot to me because it's kind of cool.
I heard he was trying to steal Terry Brazier.
Oh, is he?
I heard he was trying to steal Terry.
That yeah. was it, yeah.
Hands off, Abe.
Hands off! Steal him, take him where? You give him back.
I'm about to say, once you run out of TCP and Savlon, you'd be sending him back.
I want to introduce him to Security Steve. I think him and Ty, him and Terry. Tiny and oh, Terry
make,
would be
make a reality TV wow. show. Yeah. That.
Yeah.
Terry definitely. Is... That was another highlight, going to San Diego from New York. There's been a load of New York highlights.
Oh, New York is a magical place.
Yeah. yeah. Magical place.
That's all I can remember. It's just woke up and it said it on a piece of paper. This was a magical place.
Chase the Status was good.
It's magical. Oh, yeah, it man. Is, yeah, that was... Yeah, that was.
We've got a shout out to Chase the Status as well for sending me. Cause
and me.
Well, the previous podcast...
And Jamie, you...
I'd sent a load of gear out to Chase the Status... Dan, we sat down, me and Dan worked out what we're going to send out. So we sent out a care package. And then they sent some stuff for Dan. To which, when we were on the podcast, I was like, oh yeah, thanks. Being a dick. Like, yeah. Thanks, lads.
Yeah.
Oi, oi.
Mate, that's sick.
So then all of a sudden, I get a full care package just to make me feel even more shit. Yeah. So,
mate, that one's dope.
Their album and is it's so amazing. Good.
It's awesome,
it
is.
Right? It's incredible.
It's one of the... one of my albums this year for sure.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't got this album, it is incredible. Return to Jungle.
I've got kids. I've got the kids now. Is whenever it a I put,
General.
Whenever I wear the jacket or anything, the kids go retreat.
Soundboy, surrender, retreat.
So yes, thank you very much, fellas. I will be crossing your palm.
Yeah, thank you very much for the t-shirts and the bum bags. Much appreciated.
Bum bags, fanny packs.
A fanny pack.
Bomb bag.
Something to pack your fanny in.
Fag pack.
What?
My fag
cigarette.
Pack.
Cigarette pack.
Cigarette. Well, cigarettes. It's a worldwide podcast. Worldwide. We don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, sorry. You know. I was definitely on about cigarettes.
Definitely on about cigarettes. Well, we did miss a fight off of, other than Perry and the Perry fight,
Max.
And I want to talk about Max, what we're saying about Max and Volkanovski.
Yeah.
You good came in. Bro. I wasn't watching it because I don't know why. I was just exporting to me, and you came in and you were like, I think he's done it, like into the media room. Yeah. I think he's, I was like,
he definitely done it?
Max never really went into Top Gear, did he?
No, he didn't.
He was
no,
just
he
kind
was
of cruising the whole.
Yeah.
Did you see him on Rogan and like what you said about it?
I haven't listened
no,
to
I haven't.
Yet.
I haven't. Mm.
Is it good?
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He knew he was getting leg kicked, but he just didn't feel like that was enough in the moment. And he said, I think he said, in hindsight, looking back, there was a lot more than he thought there was. So he felt like he had won it because that's what he was doing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's a big difference, though. One thing I was thinking about it when I was walking the dogs, in MMA, there's a big difference between losing and being beat.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Perry and Faber were beat.
Yeah.
I think Max only just lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything happened to his stock.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen crazy decisions. They could have given it Max for some fucking insane...
Mm. And, like, and Aldo was robbed.
A Cecil Peoples, yeah.
It
so
it was a Hubbery.
It yeah. was. It was.
If you're scoring the Aldo card like that, as well,
if they were scoring the Aldo card like that, yeah, well, fucking, like, Max won by TKO.
Yeah.
That was a conversation we were having earlier. I actually made notes at him. I actually read that note a minute ago and thought to myself, now, talk about another podcast. But we discussed it earlier about scoring. And if there's a fight where there's a scorecard that's really odd, or a referee makes a call about something that was strange or whatever, like, they should be able to, like, there should be a request allowed from the media to say, hey, we'd like to speak to that official
yeah.
at the press conference. And then
for like, good and bad
requirement. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, sometimes the accountability is important. We were talking about it in context to Mark, weren't we, Mark mm-hmm. Goddard?
Yeah.
Because we want to get listened regularly, but obviously he's, you know, he's busy traveling and stuff.
Well, he had the Colby decision and then he had the Frankie decision to make.
That was great. We haven't talked about that fight either, have we?
No.
That was a great call. He left Frankie plenty of time. And the other thing as well, the other thing that people didn't get to see. So from my perspective, the fight's ending kind of over there in that corner. A lot of it was happening right in front of me. When Frankie was first knocked down and Zombie took his back, that was all happening right
you're,
in front
you can
of
see
us.
You through the cage because you're, okay.
yeah,
you're
stood
up.
Yeah, I was yeah. like...
Retreat!
So it's getting a bit warm with this sweater on as well. Let's say. It's all right.
It smells like piss and biscuits now.
What was I saying? Yeah, so the fight, the end of the fight had happened over there, and as I was watching that happening, I glanced over at the corner to see what was happening in the corner with Mark Henry, to see if he was shouting, to see what he was saying. And just as I looked over, Mark Henry had grabbed the towel and was trying to throw the towel in. And as he threw it, the commissioner kind of caught his arm and knocked the towel out of his hand. Because you're not allowed to throw the towel in. It's up to the referee to stop the fight. Your corner man can't stop the fight. But Mark Henry was already in the process of throwing the
what
towel.
What a catch, though.
Yeah.
Commission just coming through.
What?
Yeah.
This is
so
news
Mark
to
Henry
me.
Wanted the fight over.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, anybody saying that, like...
I didn't know you could not,
yeah,
not throw the towel.
No,
you're not allowed to, not in MMA.
But didn't we have a massive conversation with Mark Goddard about yeah. throwing in towels?
Yeah, no, what you can do is you can notify the official that's in your corner, I believe, and the official is allowed to notify the referee.
Are they the red coats?
No, that's only in Vegas with the burgundy coats. Okay. Yeah. And there are always too many of them in the octagon.
Fucking massive, aren't they?
Too many of them, yeah, standing around.
I'm going to wear myself a burger.
Yeah, anyway, accountability for officials, that's a conversation for another time.
I think we should get them on, get them in front. Because the thing is, then they start, not that you want to build up a celebrity, but like with Herb at one point, arrived on the scene and was like, I know he's been there for a long time and he used to fight, but he got to a point where he was incredible. Everyone asked for him. And then because I don't think he ever justifies his actions or is accountable for a lot of stuff, he's never put in the limelight that he's not ever having to check himself to be better the whole time. Whereas you've got someone like Mark, and this isn't just biased towards Mark, but Mark is doing seminars on how to be a good referee. So with or without listen, he's constantly evolving because he's putting himself in IMAF. He's doing the seminars. And I think when you've got that, you're just constantly sharpening your own tools. Mark sharpening his own tools. He'll take that the way it's meant, right? He won't get mad about that. I'm not talking about him playing with his willy. But you know what I mean? So the thing is, I think if you can get him in at the end of like a press conference or whatever, yeah, then yeah. the minute that he's put to bed, I mean, the stuff with Colby, no matter what happens, Colby's going to be pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. If it's a decision, he's pissed off at the judges. If it's something else, he's pissed off at them. So no matter what, Mark did the right thing.
Yeah.
He let the kid have a tantrum. He left him alone and then he did like a nice quote. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Frankie, again, he's just faultless. Absolutely yeah. perfect in my eyes.
Yeah.
So he's tricky, man. Mm. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, like, you know, at the before Nate and Masvidal, was obviously the whole USADA thing. And the press actually got to speak to Jeff Nowitzki,
mm-hmm.
and he gave a statement.
Yeah.
I think they were able to do that, so why couldn't they do that with officials? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Mm. And I think the accountability will also kind of smoke out the officials that don't really know what they're doing, because they won't want to speak, or they'll speak and they'll hang themselves because they'll say something stupid.
They're going to get so bored of speaking to Mario Yamasaki.
Yeah, but I think that's a good idea. I think the officials should be accountable, and I think they should be able to be interviewed by the media if, you know, if there's a, like, every now and then there's a weird scorecard and you're like, hang on a minute, how did you go 30-27 when that guy clearly lost two rounds? You know what I mean? Like, that happens sometimes.
And it becomes like an ugly witch hunt, because then you're on, the thing is, I'm subscribed to so many different MMA forums, not forums, like MMA outlets.
Mm-hmm.
So on my Insta or Facebook or Twitter, whatever it is, you get like a slightly blurred or skewed vision depending on who's doing it.
Yeah.
And I think if it was at the official press conference or whatever it is, I don't see that being a bad thing, because it just means that you just, the nice thing I've liked about UFC from day one is it's always been open. They've always told you exactly what's going on, what's happening. Like, I use the Caleb Starnes example when he fought, was it Nate Quarry? And he just refused to interact and was running backwards. And Joe was saying what he was saying to his corner, and he was falling out with his corner. And basically, Caleb Starnes had just finished. That was it. I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But most places would like either cut it or not show it, or like whitewash over it. Joe was telling you what he was screaming at his corner, and I was like, I fucking love this. This is the closest you can get to any athlete. Like, all dirty laundry, everything's out there. And it's always been in context, so it's been good. But when you get stuff like the officials and the judges and stuff, like, the judges are just three names that essentially are always bad when a decision's read. Does that make sense? It's not even like, I remember Cecil Peoples.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah. Because he's got a cool name.
Yeah.
Cecil Peoples.
Cecil Peoples. Pimping it. Don't care.
What are you hoping for 2020? Number one. For Christmas. Number one. No, that's 2009.
What am I hoping for what?
2020, fight-wise. Best fight that you could put together, just one.
Adesanya Jones.
Okay, all right. Let's go top end and bottom end. As in, top caliber, bottom caliber.
Well, I'll give you some fights I'd like to see. I'd like to see Adesanya Jones. I'd like to see Conor against Masvidal, because that's the fight he's asking for. I think he's too small personally, but we'll do a war room on that, a warp room. What else do I want to see? I'd like to see Tyson Fury step into MMA. I'd like to see him fight Miocic.
I think he's a lot different to any time any other boxer's ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different animal.
I'd like to see Cejudo against Cruz.
Ooh.
I'd like to see, what else?
Would you like to see Cejudo against Faber?
Not really. Not after what PT Yan did to him.
I think he's got more of a chance to get a belt now, with it being...
I wouldn't mind seeing PT Yan against Marlon Moraes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Did Cejudo tweet after the Aldo fight about giving him a...
He wants to fight Aldo?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he thinks it's easier.
I mean, he thought he won.
But he also thinks it's easier.
Probably.
Yeah, there's a few fights I'd like to see. I'm interested to see what happens with the Conor fight. I want to see Conor fight at lightweight again, because I want to see him back in the running for the title. That's the best weight class for him. So I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Gaethje or Poirier. I'd like to see Gaethje against Khabib.
Big time.
I'm interested to see what happens with Khabib Tony, obviously. What else?
I think Khabib Tony has got the making to upset the entire year.
Yeah. I'd like to see Zabit against Zombie.
That'd be good.
Over Yari.
Over Yair Rodriguez.
Yari?
I put my head down and forgot his name.
Yair against Zabit would be a good fight.
How do you say his name then properly?
Yair. I want to see Yair against Jeremy Stevens again.
Yeah.
I just want to see. Jeremy be able to get.
To be fair, I like Jeremy Stevens.
Man, he's a fucking pimp. Or him again. Like, if Jose's going to stick around, mind you, he's dropped a weight, hasn't he? Because obviously he beat Jeremy, and I just like to see Jeremy just climbing back up. Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty dirty, wasn't it?
Mm. Did you watch the Volkan against Rakic fight? You watched that? Yeah. What did? No, you're not.
I watched that. Yeah, I watched the main event. Yeah.
There were some people that disagree with that decision.
I thought it was kind of close.
I feel sorry for it, but I
agree with the decision.
Yeah, I gave the last two to, same as the Aldo fight, I gave the last two to Volkan. Yeah.
He's had a rough year.
He has.
He's had a couple. Yeah. The curse of DC, man.
Yeah.
He got there a bit too quick, didn't he?
They said that him against the Dominic Reyes at UFC London was wrong. A lot of people disagreed with that result.
Yeah, I could have seen that going to Volkan.
I thought Volkan had won.
And then...
And he wants that rematch back once Reyes has fought Jones, and he also wants Anthony Smith.
That would be cool. Anthony Smith would be...
I do like seeing Smith
more fight. Interesting fight, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It was a good rematch there. Because that was a good first fight. Because Volkan still had a broken nose, hadn't he?
Yeah. So I want to see... sorry, Aaron.
Go on.
I want to see... Less spectacular, but I really want to see it now you've put it in my head. And that is Makwan Amiakani against Mads Burnell.
Be a good fight.
That'd be a good fight.
That would be next. That would be such a fucking good fight.
So
that's a main event for a fight alone. Do you know what I mean? Like for what the fight is. That's
for a UK card.
Yeah. That's the kind of fight you'd put like fight. To open up a main card in Europe.
Yeah.
Because you want to get the crowd.
That barn burner.
Yeah. And that'd be a wild
Paul
one.
Kelly, Paul Taylor. Just fucking rock 'em sock 'em.
That was wild, that fight as well.
But what out of all the champions you got now, I know you put a picture out the other day of the end of 2018 and of 2019, the different faces on the podium for the champions.
Oh yeah, I did know.
Who do you reckon is most likely to change for 2020? Do you think we're still going to have Stylebender on there as a champ? John Jones, Stipe?
I think Volkanovski might change if he fights Holloway again.
Do you think?
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Yeah. But then again, I think there's two or three other people in that division as well that could potentially be champion. I think Zombie can beat anybody.
Yeah, Zombie called him.
I think Zabit can beat anybody, and as long as he can catch him in the first three. I do think he's going to struggle. I think his conditioning will be better at lightweight, and I think he'll find his way there eventually.
I want to see Cejudo lose and just fuck off.
I can see that.
Okay,
that's just personal opinion.
So who do you think is most likely to retain? Jones and Khabib and Amanda Nunes?
I think Nunes is most likely. I think Jones is highly likely as well.
I annoyingly feel like Cejudo is highly likely as well.
Yeah, I don't know though. I think
after the first time against DJ, he destroyed him with one knee to the body. I know he's changed a bit, but the whole TJ was so close and that kind of controversial. It was just a real freakish. We watched that here, didn't we, with Chris? And it wasn't like a satisfying "fuck you earned that fucking win, well done, dude." And then the Moraes was an impressive win. He was getting whooped. He was fucking getting whooped that first round and made a massive adjustment. And fair play. But how much had Moraes spent on that first round? So I want to see him against someone. If it was vintage Aldo, I'd put my house on it. But the problem is, time don't stand still for any fucker. And when you look at Aldo now compared to WEC Cub Swanson Aldo, that's the hunger. Yeah. He is fully fed now, whereas the hunger back in the day was day to day.
Yeah.
So
how about Aldo, Edgar and Faber all in the cage at the same time?
Wow, I think if Aldo kicks, we're laughing
with a special championship belt hanging above the octagon.
There's going to be two guys.
It's got to be a long ladder. A fucking long ladder that is.
Like Money in the Bank.
If that happened, right, there'll be two out of the three that engage first. I can't see three people engaging at the same time.
No,
do you know what I mean? So two people, and then there's going to be a guy like not doing anything that could then. Just jump on someone's back.
Or the two of them go for one.
Ooh, and then find it out.
If you put Cruz in there, I think Faber and Jose go for Cruz.
Yeah, just a Royal Rumble at bantamweight. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Six Cejudo in there. Marlon Moraes.
30 of them.
At flyweight.
That'd be fucking sick. Imagine a Royal Rumble in the cage. Just, who's coming down now? 3, 2, one.
Yeah,
it's the big boss man. Fucking Cejudo. Yeah, but Cejudo takes so long coming out to get trampled by every fucker on the way out. You know, he's still signing stuff and like thumbs up selfies.
Here's a question: if the BMF belt is in contention in 2020, who ends the year with the BMF belt?
I think Conor loses it by the end of the year.
You reckon? I don't think he touches it.
I don't see how he gets it, but I think he loses it by the end of the year.
You reckon?
Somehow, I don't know how.
Masvidal would defend it twice, and I think he'll retain it.
Okay. I'd like to.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing the Conor show. You know, when I saw the bit of the previews and like a little bit of the build up, it just takes me back to that fucking that rise. And love him or hate him, there was no denying what he was doing initially. I know he went a bit Rocky 3 and he went a bit Clubber Lang, but fucking hell, just put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
So to see now him sort of going, no, fuck it, all right. And then taking on Cowboy, a lot of people are overlooking Cowboy.
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
And he's fucking dangerous.
I think at welterweight he's got a good chance. I think at lightweight he'd struggle against Conor, but yeah. I think at welterweight he's got a good chance.
But that soundbite from that big press conference from back in the day when Conor was about to fight Jose after he beat Chad, and he sort of sat there and he's good to go, you're like, fuck man, this is going to be fucking... And then now they've got that. That's cool.
Did you ever see on Embedded at UFC Boston, I don't know which one it was, the second fight McGregor fought at, on that Embedded episode? Cowboy. Yeah, Cowboy came into his
locker
room.
They were dead. Yeah, they were dead jovial at the time, weren't they? And I remember seeing that at the time and thinking, oh, they're in different classes. So it's because the thing is, Cowboy is a massive fan favourite.
Tension's higher to press conferences as well.
Yeah.
It sends 3 hours left still. Jesus. We should start wrapping this. How long are we going for?
I don't know.
It's almost Christmas.
Hour and 35.
Is that it?
Yeah, but it's been recording for like 10 minutes before.
I'm getting hungry anyway.
Well, I haven't got many other notes. They are random. One of them is... I can't remember writing this. Ernie walks like an Elvis impersonator. That's my dog.
Okay. Yeah, give him a follow on Instagram.
Yeah. Toes are actually leg fingers. Toes are leg fingers.
Yeah.
And then Joe saying desperado mode. I don't know if he had a sponsorship with
does. I have heard him say that before. Desperado mode. When it gets like the last round and they've got to get a knockout, he's in desperado mode.
Yeah, but like, I don't think that's right.
It's a Roganism.
And then with it being mad winter in England at the minute, one random one that I thought about was, how do you scrape your car? Like, Stace scraped my car for me the other morning.
I don't scrape my car. With an old hotel room key.
There you go. So you turn it on and just let it defrost.
No, if I'm honest, I just get some lukewarm tap water and just...
Okay,
that is the best way to...
You do the dangerous, like, I might smash my windscreen mode.
No, that's if it's hot.
Boiling water, yeah. But then it does... And if it's water, it does refreeze again, depending on the temperature. But that's your... So you use lukewarm water. You do the same.
Well, I do, but if I'm in a hurry, then just get the credit card out.
Pay someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Jeeves.
No, my car's so shit, I get ice on the inside.
I've had that before. I've been there, dude. At the crawl like that. But Stace scraped my car, and because I'm that fucking anal, she'd left like little fluffy bits around the edge and where she hadn't gone right into the corner. And I was like, oh. And I had to re-scrape the whole thing. Like, I go... Every window, like seal to seal, is absolutely scraped. And I was thinking to myself at the time, this isn't fucking normal.
Not everyone
does this. Some people, like, I drive along and see someone with like the smallest little porthole in the front of their car, and I'm like, you're gonna kill a kid.
I do that. I've got like a fucking face mask size gap on my windscreen. I just like pin an armored truck against it.
I have one really low down.
It's like a letterbox. Like,
yeah, it's when you start going like that because you've put the thing on max and you're like, No, it's just a dog.
I've got a good selection of hotel room keys, so I always produce one of them from my pocket.
Have none of you got scrapers? That could have been the best Christmas present.
I bought one last year, especially like, for it.
That is the biggest like mum present from Aldi, but I could have got you some new car mats and a scraper
with a glove on it.
They're fucking mint. Yeah. Trust me, don't laugh at them, man. You know, when you've scraped.
What about next year on Full Reptiles?
I have never ever been in a position to do it.
We can have a mystery tepid
water bottle.
By the
time he wakes up, the fucking whole world's defrosted.
Yeah. Alaska's permafrost is good.
Wait a minute. What? I get up at a reasonable time.
Why, have you got some dirt to dish?
What's considered a reasonable time?
An hour before you.
An hour before me. Whatever time that is.
What have you been doing in that room? Sleeping? Because I've been up before.
I feel like I get up at about anywhere from 9 to 10:30.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like you probably get up about 11, 12.
About half 10, 11 o'clock usually, yeah. 11 o'clock's good for me. But then I'm up late. 3 hours left.
So am I.
Hey?
Yeah. It all depends on when you go to bed.
You're playing Fortnite though, aren't you? It's not, you know.
I'm keeping my mind just super active and pulsating.
Is that right? Pulsating.
I can't wait for that Conor and Cowboy press conference. Poof, snapshot.
Right, I'm gonna get. I need some food. Right. All good.
Let's
all
get
good,
you fed.
Man. All good. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. We'll do a podcast next week. Maybe we'll do one from Amsterdam.
There you
That'd
go.
Be pretty cool.
Kind of FaceTime me.
With Veronica. Hi, boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Right.
Cool.
All Thanks
good?
A lot.
All good. All good. Merry Christmas.
Take
everybody.
It easy.
Bye bye. Take care.